In my book out is one of our youth. She's been here for several years. She's now just really a young lady. And she's been serving up at Global, and it's good to see what God is doing. It's a blessing. Amen. And, you know, I've known several young people to go up there. You know, there are a lot of places you can go. If you go and you're around God's people and you're serving the Lord, God can impact your life. And can I say this? If you're a Christian, you need to be in church on Sunday.
Amen. That's right. Amen.
You know, if you're out there listening and you're watching us on Facebook, we welcome you. We're glad to have you as part of it. We know that we picked up some folks during that time, and some have been given to the church faithfully, and I appreciate that. We do. But you need to find a body of Christ somewhere.
Yes.
Close to where you're at that you can be a part of. You need to be in the house of God.
Amen.
I saw a sign one time that said, members expected, visitors welcome. Can I tell you, as a pastor, members are expected. And if you want God to fulfill everything that he can do in the house and in your life, you got to be here. Sometimes people come to me and they've got prayer requests. You know, the number one thing that I advise that I'd give people, mom and daddy live right for God at home, okay, because Sunday morning is not enough. Mom and daddy live right for God at home and then bring them to the house of the Lord and then let God do what only God can do. So I just believe in going to church. I like going to church. And by the way, I love being around Christian people. I do. You know, I'm glad to be saved. I'm glad that I know the Lord. I've been saved a long time. And he's still the same. He's still the same. You know, we got some good things going on. I hate to do this, but upstairs I'm about to throw y'all a curveball. Everything I gave you, get rid of it, okay? God has changed my heart and my mind this morning, and this has happened a few times since I've been here. And during the very beginning of the church, the testimony service, God pointed me in a completely different direction. And I would like to argue with him, but he's the boss. And I don't know what he's going to do with it, so I may not be up here long, but God's in control. Before I preach this morning, I want to say it's good to see some folks in the house of the Lord. Terry and Melissa, it's great to see y'all. We love y'all. We're glad you're here. You know, Brother Rick and Diane, we're always glad you're here. I praise God for the good news. Amen. And Brian and Linda, I'm so glad to see y'all this morning. We've been praying for y'all, and God has answered prayer. You know, I look around, and I know a lot of people going through stuff. Amen.
Amen.
Miss Keaton, I know you've been through a lot of stuff, but thank you for coming to the house of God.
Yes,
and can I tell you something? Every person on every row, God's got something for you.
Right.
God's got a plan for your life. God can work in your life, but you got to give him something to work with. That's why you need to be here when you can. You know, a lot of times people want to be mentioned in prayer, but they don't make an effort to come to the house of God. If you can walk and you can talk and you can go down to the concert and you can make it to Walmart three times a week, you can make it to church on Sunday morning. Now, I'm just a little bit old-fashioned, okay? Y'all know that. And if we believe that Jesus Christ is coming back, we ought to be living like it. Or we ought to be acting like it. If I say he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords, then he ought to be King of my life. And I'm glad to be in the house of the Lord. Now, I'm going to try my best to obey God. And I want to preach on this subject, what Jesus can do. This is just something that's been on my heart and my mind. I'm going to read in the book of Luke, chapter number 4, and I'm going to read over there in the book of Isaiah, chapter number 61. I'm going to go to Isaiah first, then I'm going to come back to the book of Luke, and I'm going to read this scripture that was prophesied 690 years B.C., and then we're going to go over to the book of Luke, and we're going to see Jesus as a young man going into the house of God, and he proclaims these words before them, and when they see him, they are absolutely amazed at the power that comes out of him.
Yes.
You know, and I want to tell y'all something. When I studied this and I got excited about it, God just let me write down a few points, but he never would give me the rest of it. So I'm sitting over here this morning saying, God, if you want me to preach on it, you got to give it to me as I'm up there, because I don't know what to do.
Come on,
now, you know how men are when they're going somewhere. They don't want to read the directions. I'm waiting on God to give me some GPS signals this morning. Kind of like Siri that says, turn right. In the book of Isaiah, chapter number 61, the first verse, says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord hath appointed me to preach good tidings to the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of our Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, and to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Now get hold of that last part right there. That he might be glorified. Can I tell you something? I believe this based on what I read in the Word of God. That everything that God does, he does it for his glory. And the greatest attribute of God is his holiness. And all of the things that you enjoy, like mercy, grace, and love, come out of the holiness of God. You know what the problem with people say, well, the greatest attribute of God is love. But when you say love, people have no idea sometimes what you're even talking about. You ever had anybody say that I love you and they didn't treat you like Jesus? Amen. The greatest attribute of God is holiness. And out of that holiness comes the goodness that he gives unto us. But everything that God does, he does it for his glory. Let's go over to Luke chapter number 4 and let's look at verse number 16 and let's just read a couple of verses. This is when Jesus comes into Nazareth and he begins to teach. And it says, and he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. Now here's Jesus, and he's opening the book before the people. And as he's there, he opens it to, I believe, what we read over there in Isaiah 61. But look at what it says. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted and to preach deliverance to the captives, the recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book, and he gave it again unto the minister, and sat down, and the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, this day is the scripture fulfilled in your ears. And you know, surely there was some of it when they read, they didn't want to read or they wouldn't read. And you know what they might have thought? Well, it's mighty bold of that young man to stand up and read those words. But when he read it, and he read it, it was a prophetic thing that was going to happen. He said, this day it's happened because I'm him. I'm the one, and I've come to fulfill. Now, when I begin to think about this, and I thought about what was happening, you know, if you go over there in Isaiah 61, preach the gospel to the meek, or preach the gospel to the poor. Jesus came, and the gospel was preached. Do you understand that a lot of times when the word is brought, that there, up until really just in the past few hundred years, there was extreme amount of prejudice as to who could open the word of God, who could touch the word of God, who the word of God was delivered to. But I'll tell you, the good news this morning is that everybody can have it. It's for everybody. Now here's the good news. The good news of the gospel is you don't have to be good enough. You don't have to give enough. You don't have to do enough. And you don't even have to get rid enough. You just got to accept what Jesus Christ did. So he came and Jesus preached the gospel to the poor. You know, I love that verse over there where it says, and when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them. That has become probably my second life verse, my first being Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. But when I think about what Jesus did and how Jesus looks at you and me and how Jesus looks at you, the Lord looks at you with the intent and the desire of fulfilling the needs of your heart and your life. Number one, you accepting Him and being saved. You know, I mentioned earlier when we were having communion that the blood of Jesus will cover anything that is brought to the altar. But people in the world today don't want to bring their things that they have to God. If you want to hold on to it and you don't believe in the power of God, guess what? You're going to have it forever. And when you get to the end and you die and you stand before God and you're still holding it, He's going to say you never brought it. You know, this next one here, it says that He came to heal the brokenhearted. Now, I want to tell you something this morning. I've been serving the Lord a long time. I've talked to a lot of people. I've counseled with a lot of people. Do y'all remember that show Dragnet? Isn't that the one that they say the names have been changed to protect the innocent? Y'all remember that? Now, I want to tell you something as a preacher. There are things that people have told me that if I told anybody, I ought to suffer for it. Okay? You know why? Because a lot of times people come to the preacher and they say, I've got something I need to pray about. They need to have enough confidence in their pastor. They need to have enough confidence in their leadership. They need to have enough confidence in their Sunday school teacher. They need to have enough confidence in their deacon that if they share something with you, it does not go anywhere. I've had people come to me and I actually had a couple come to this church from another church because they went to their pastor and they were having trouble in their marriage and they began to talk to their pastor in confidence and they found out that their pastor was spreading their junk all over the church and all over the county. And they came in and I began to conference with them and to talk with them. And, you know, I want to tell you something, folks. I have seen God work in people's lives in such a way that if it wasn't God, there's no way it would have got any better. And when I think about the testimony of what God can do, I have seen marriages restored. I've seen homes that were broken apart. I've seen people that were hooked on drugs and alcohol get saved by the grace of God. Because that is what Jesus can do. You know, sometimes what you and I think when we're dealing with things, and this is where we're at. We say there's no remedy. There's nothing that can be done. The promises have been broken. The hearts have been torn apart. Our life is in disorder. But I want to tell you what Jesus can do is He can take all the pieces and He can bring them back together. There's been times in my life my wife and I have got down and we prayed by the bed and we prayed for people and we just look at one another and we say if it's going to be done, it's going to have to be done by the power of God because we don't know what to say. We don't know what to do. And in man's way, it's impossible. But with God, all things are possible. He came to heal the brokenhearted. You know, that's why we talked a little bit ago about such were some of you. You know, I've heard some of your testimonies. I've heard people talk about, you know, God saved me, and when He saved me, I was saved. Praise God. He brought me into a different place. You look at what God did with Saul. Changed his name to Paul. He touched him, He called him when he was on the road to Damascus, and he spoke to him and he said, it is hard for you to kick against the pricks. What does that mean? It is impossible for you to fight against God. You think you have the ability, you think you have the way. By the same token, it is wrong for you to say that God is not big enough to deal with all the things that I bring to Him. Yes, He is. It could be a child. It could be a parent. It could be in your own broken home. You know, I could tell you, and I'd never mention the names, never, how many times that I have counseled couples where there was infidelity. And they look at you and they tell you, and they're absolutely broken apart. And they don't think there's any way it could ever be better. And in man's ways, it's not possible. Doesn't the Bible say in the book of Proverbs that jealousy is the rage of a man? And all you can do is pray. I've counseled with them, I've prayed with them, I've tried to get them to see greater things. But I take zero credit for what I've seen God do. But I want to tell you this morning, I've seen homes restored. I've counseled with people when they come to you and they got tears running down their face and they say, you know, I said I'd never take that drug again. And I want to warn you young people, you listen to me. Don't you ever, ever, ever take crystal meth. Never. Don't you take cocaine. I know people today that their entire life is torn completely apart because of one time. But Brother Tom, I can also say I've seen people restored. I can also say I've seen people saved. I can also say that I've seen people that used to be the devil's soldier rise up and get saved by the grace of God. I thought when I preached this message, I'd have them play this song. Y'all know that song? They baptized Jesse Taylor in Cedar Creek last Sunday. Jesus saved a soul, but Satan lost a good right arm. There's a lot of Jesse Taylors out there because of what Jesus can do. He can heal the brokenhearted, which leads to the next one, to preach deliverance to the captives. You know, so many people are in captivity. Do you know the Bible says that whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin? Sometimes I see people and they think, oh, we had a good time Friday night. And I think, you a prisoner. You are a prisoner. You are a prisoner to what people think about you. Because you're more concerned about what your so-called friends say than you are what the Word of God says. You can't have happiness unless you get it out of the bottom of a bottle, because the Bible says, be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit for a reason. Because when the power of God gets on you, it makes you do funny things. You're a captive. You are a captive if you live in sin. Sometimes I hear people, and I heard a preacher this morning, he's talking about, oh, how hard it was to be a Christian. I thought, well, I'll never have him preach at Hiram First Baptist. I want to tell y'all something. I mean this, young people. I like being a Christian.
Amen.
The biggest problem I have being a Christian is dealing with Joe Holcomb. Because I still got a temper. I still have a will. And when the Holy Spirit moves, which I'm familiar with, because if you get saved by the grace of God, one thing about it, the proof of it is that the Holy Spirit convicts you of your sin. I just have to decide if I'm going to go God's way or my way. But I like being a Christian. I love the Spirit of God. I love feeling it. I love being led by it. I love a gospel singing. And I love to be around God's people. My voice is gone. They were playing When I Wake Up to Sleep No More this morning. And I tried to hit some of those high notes. I shouldn't have done that. He came to preach deliverance to the captives. And he came to give recovering of sight to the blind. Now, folks, you read the Word of God, you know that Jesus did that. You remember as he walked down the road and there was a man that cried out. They told him to be quiet. Y'all know the song, My Name is Bartimaeus. Nobody cares if I live or die. All day long, I just sit here waiting. As all the people walk on by, Now, to think about it, and I know that some folks in this church are struggling with your eyesight. You know, it's cataracts, it's diabetes, it's glaucoma, it's something else. And, you know, as long as I got on these progressive trifocals, I'm okay. But if I were to lose them, I couldn't get home. That's why every vehicle I have has an extra pair of glasses in the dash. My hunting bag that I carry to the deer stand has an extra pair of glasses. One day all that's going to be healed. But you know, sometimes when we think about the recovering of the sight of the blind, we know that the lame walked. We know that the dumb had the gospel preached to them. And we know that the blind received sight. We also know that the dead were raised. But I want to give you a thought. You can be healed and still not go to heaven. You can have your hearing restored and your sight restored, and you can have all the things of the body given back to you. But if you don't know Jesus, you're still blind. The most important thing you could have is the vision of being able to see God and who God is. And the last one is he came to set at liberty them that are bruised. There's another verse that says, a bruised reed he'll not break, and a smoking flax he will not snuff out. I used to preach on the radio, and I heard a guy get on the radio one time, and he used that verse to preach against cigarettes. And I thought, that guy don't have any idea what that verse means. A smoking flax is the wick of a candle. And it's a bruised reed. It's like a reed or a plant. It's kind of like me trying to get flowers to grow. It ain't happening. When I was growing up, my mother used to put bricks around them so I wouldn't cut them down with a lawnmower. Every now and then I'd move the bricks. That's why I got so many whoopings when I was little. Some people just have a green thumb. But if our life is that way, it's like this. We're not strong. We can't stand up. We're not healthy. The sun, the wind, the waves has caused us just to be bent down. The smoldering flax is like the wick of a candle or a lamp. And what Jesus would do is he would come and he would put in the oil. He would trim the lamp. He would make sure that it was able to put forth the clean light, clean the globe. What does all that mean? Here's what Jesus came. Jesus came looking for the weak. He came looking for those in need so that he could come and move in their life in such a way that he could provide the things that they need, because every one of us have our days that we're like that river grass that's been over. Every one of us have that day that it's just like our lamp is flickering and about to go out. But I want to tell you what Jesus can do. He can handle all the things of your life, all the problems of your life, all the circumstances, all the things that the world says it's impossible. Jesus can do it. Are we sometimes surprised when we see what Jesus can do? There's so many times that my wife and I, we've got together and we've prayed about things. And we've seen God move in so many ways. Sometimes what happens, though, is we get to the point that the only thing we can remember is when it didn't go the way that we wanted it to. And it causes us to question God and maybe even look at, well, where's God actually at? I want you to understand something. He's still God. He's still on the throne. And eternity is still in front of us. And he's still healing. He's still binding up. He's still recovering sight to the blind. The captives are being delivered, and liberty is given to them that are bruised. Because what God does, us, and I wish we, didn't we read such were some of you? Can we remember where we were at when we met Christ? I mentioned to them Wednesday night in Bible study, and maybe you're like this. I got saved when I was 12. I grew up in a Christian home where my dad was the man he was supposed to be. And because I accepted Christ at 12 years old, called to preach in the ninth grade, preaching by the time I was 18 and pretty much just like I am now, there's a lot of things I hadn't done. Maybe you're like that. Maybe you ain't been in church your whole life and you ain't done this and you ain't done that. It's kind of like the saying, you ever heard that? I don't smoke and I don't chew and I don't run with those that do. Amen. But doesn't the Bible also say over in the book of James that if you're guilty of one sin, you're guilty of them all? And if we don't look at what we are in comparison to Jesus Christ rather than comparison ourselves to other people, we'll never be able to pour God's mercy and grace out on others the way that this scripture tells us that we should. Because if I don't understand this, it's only by God's grace that I'm not already gone to hell. You can say, well, I've never taken those drugs, and I've never done that, and I've never been unfaithful to my wife. Did you need Jesus? Amen. Or maybe you're good enough, he didn't have to come. I think we all need God. And when I look at what Jesus can do, I want to tell y'all, I'm overwhelmed.
Amen.
I'm overwhelmed at the goodness and the mercy of God. Now, I've delivered to you what God's put on my heart. I'm going to ask him to come. Go ahead and get ready to sing. I guess I have a question as we close. Do you need Jesus to do anything for you? I still do. I still need Jesus in my heart and my life. If I'm at work, if I'm at home, if I'm working outside, I want Jesus. I want him to be Lord of my life. I want him to guide me. You say, well, you know, I seem to have, maybe I got more problems than anybody. Well, sometimes that's the way we feel. And maybe compared to some, maybe you do. That's why the Bible says that we're to bear one another's burdens to so fulfill the law of Christ. Then it says, for every man shall bear his own burden. What does that mean? Just because it's good at your house today don't mean it's going to be good tomorrow. And what I want to do is take advantage of what Jesus did and bring everything that I have and give it to him, surrender it to him. Say, Lord, I know this looks like a big deal, but the preacher said you could handle it. And you bring it to him. Would you rise to your feet? If God spoke to your heart, the most important thing you could ever do is accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. But if you got something you need help with, I want to tell you something. Jesus can help you. Would you come?
Thank you. seeking for a Savior, He's ready to help. Just ask Him only, the Lord will prevail. It's for me, He calms every sea, He wins every
And thank you guys. Thank you all. You can be seated. We just got a couple of announcements that we want to make. You know, we're thankful for the goodness of the Lord. We're thankful that the Lord answers prayers. Amen.
Amen.
Now, I'm going to go through just a list to give you some people to pray for. Let's remember celebrate recovery tomorrow night here at the church. We're going to have celebrate recovery. Amen. Go ahead, brother.